Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So great to be with you all this morning. And today we're going to talk about some stuff. We're going to get into the Word of God this morning. And you know, it's been an interesting year, to say the least, right? And many of you are, you've got your dukes up. You're ready to box the other Christians that don't agree with you. He can't be a Christian if he believes that. Well, maybe. I don't know. But at the end of the year, we come to this time of the year every year. And most years, it's kind of like things calm down a little bit. Even the criminals kind of go in hibernation for about a week. This is normally that time where we experience that. But during the break, I was talking to one of our staff, and she said to me, you know, this year it feels like that Christmas spirit's just not here, like it normally is. Now, maybe you're not experiencing that, but I think there are a lot of people that are in that place this year. But you know, even years where we do experience or get caught up in this Christmas time, you know, there's so many things that we do every year. Christmas caroling, nativity scenes, you know, all kinds of different things. We kind of go through the motions of Christmas. And we remember what was done for us. But this morning, what I'd like to do is just look a little deeper. Just maybe, you know, remind you of something. Remind you just how powerful the Christmas story really is, by just showing you what you probably already know. You know, sometimes we read scripture or we listen to a song or something that we do that we normally do, and we just kind of miss the power of it all. So let's get into our Bibles this morning. Are you guys all okay in Vero Beach this morning? If I run too fast, my mic makes a noise, so I need to slow down. So the message this morning is entitled, The Reason for the Season. And whether you believe it or not, we probably have a lot more to be thankful for than what we like to lead or like to believe. I'm not oblivious that things are not easy at the moment, politically and in all kinds of different things. But let's stop and remember what took place in Bethlehem that day. So let's go to Luke 2, verse number 6. I'm going to show you something. Luke 2, verse number 6. And so this is the story of Mary and Joseph, and they're on their way. And this is what the Bible says. So it was that while they were there, this is Mary and Joseph, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living outside the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. I love this. Man, just stop for a minute and just kind of imagine what really took place. There the shepherds are with their sheep in the fields, and I've actually been there, it's beautiful. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up. Man, and the power of God and the glory of God falls in that place. That the shepherds, actually the Bible says they become greatly afraid. I would imagine more than likely they probably fell down on their knees and or just fell to their faces because of this glory, this presence of God that this angel was letting off in this moment. This is a pretty powerful moment. You know, we kind of try and, you know, the angels were there and, you know, the angel arrived and the shepherds, the glory was there and they were afraid, and then we move on. But we don't capture what really is taking place in this moment. This is so powerful. And the Bible says in verse number 10, then the angels said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Everybody say all people. All people. Now say this and believe it. That includes me. No, say that includes me. Say it again. That includes me. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. I want to stop there for a moment because some of you get a little worked up when we get excited in church. You wouldn't have liked that moment because it wasn't like this. Glory to God. I can assure you, there was power and there was a presence that came down in that moment that was so overwhelming, that was so powerful that it would have shocked you right out of your religious spirit. Like right out of it. You would have been like, what just happened? Hallelujah. But I want us to see, because we don't always pay attention to what the angel told them. He said to them that there would be a Savior that is coming. And you must understand that in the lives of these shepherds, they were waiting for the coming Messiah. We read Savior, the Christ, but they're talking about the Messiah. And the angel told them the Messiah is coming. He's here. And in that moment, these men that had been oppressed under Roman rule, and if you study the story of the children of Israel, you'll find that it was one oppression after another. It wasn't easy. And at this point, God had been silent for 400 years. So they really needed a miracle. Listen, you get upset when God doesn't talk to you for 4 days. You're like, oh, it's the end of the world. God isn't for me anymore. Right? 400 years, try that. We'll see if you still have faith then. So you must understand that they are desperate. Now the angel comes and he says to them, listen, the Savior is born. And then he says that there will be good tidings. Good tidings. And he says there will be joy. And he speaks of goodwill. Pleasure. Pleasure is what goodwill means. Pleasures evermore. In other words, there is a Savior that is born. And I want you to know that he'll be in swaddling cloth. He'll be in a manger. That's how you know it's him. You'll go find him. But what this baby represents is far more than just a pretty nativity scene. Because wrapped in that swaddling cloth is somebody that is unbelievable. The prophet Isaiah prophesied and said that there will be a virgin and she will give birth to a child and they will call him Emmanuel. Oh, well, you see, we're not talking about Jesus because they called him Jesus. No, you're missing the point. They called him Emmanuel because Emmanuel means God with us. In other words, the child that was in that swaddling cloth was God. Oh, that had come down in the flesh. So that you, who thinks he's so bad all the time, who doesn't believe that God will still bless you even though things haven't gone the way you expected them to go, can actually have joy, can actually have good tidings, goodwill, peace. The thing is, the only place that we'll ever really find those things is when we go to the one who was born in that manger. We sing about him, we talk about him, we preach about him, but do you really know just how powerful he really was and is? And by the way, the Bible says that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, he lives on the inside of you. And the only way to true breakthrough for you and your family and your loved ones is when you let him out. Now, what did he come to do, this Jesus, this child that was born in the manger? Well, we know that he came to save us. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I want you to read that again. Look at it, read it, remember it, write it somewhere. He didn't come to condemn you. He already knew you were bad. That's why he came, because he knew you were bad. Is that okay? That doesn't give you an excuse to be bad. But he came because he wanted to save you. The Bible says that he sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus was sent to save us. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know that he's talking about the Son of Man who came to seek to save that which was lost? He's referring also to covenant children of God, and he's come to save them that was lost. So guess what? On your journey with God, even as a Christian, there are times that you will get lost. The good shepherd, who is Jesus, will always go to find you. And when he comes knocking at the door, don't say, I'm condemned. Because he didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He came to give you good tidings. He came so that you could have goodwill, good pleasures. He came so that you could have joy, even in coronavirus, election year, and all the stuff going on in 2020. Now just think about this year, everything that happened, boom, 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 so difficult, so challenging, so questionable. Is it the end of the world? Is it the Antichrist? Is this one that? Is Trump the devil? Is Biden the devil? Blah, 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 all the stuff. And then let it flash through your mind and stop. And then think about who your Savior is. Think about who it is that gives you peace and joy. Think about who it is that gives you life and life more abundant. Think about what he came to do for you, so that you wouldn't have to be caught up in all the stuff going on around you. Take a minute just to stop. Listen, the Bible says that when Jesus came, he came with a message. It tells us in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God always wants us to repent from things that we shouldn't be doing, because those things cause us harm and cause separation from God. But when he speaks about this, he says repent. In other words, turn from it. Turn to what I'm about to give you, what I'm about to show you. He says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word kingdom in the Greek is the word basileia, and it speaks of royal authority. It speaks of dominion. It speaks of God's rule. So imagine Jesus comes down in the flesh. He's God in the flesh. He's walking around on earth. He has authority and power. And when he preaches, he doesn't just speak empty words. He speaks life. And where everywhere he goes, people are being touched, and people are being delivered, and people are being healed. And the religious get upset with him because his disciples don't wash their hands before they eat. We would all be in trouble. Especially now during coronavirus. The religious will always try and find something to stop you from embracing what God is busy doing. One thing Jesus did more than anything was reveal the heart of God to us. The prophets and the men of old, they revealed the names of God to us. They showed us who God was and how powerful and mighty and awesome he was. But Jesus came and showed us just how much the Father really loves us. And if you want to learn more about that, come tonight, okay? Now watch. He came and he revealed the kingdom. Included in that was something very powerful. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, verse number 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Don't worry, I'm not talking about you. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Think about it now. We sing about that baby in a manger. We sing about that child that was in the manger, that little baby. We sing the songs every year over and over. But do you realize that before he was, the enemy had so much going on this earth. He had authority, he had dominion, he had stolen what God had given to man. But Jesus came to say, listen, I'm bringing it back. I'm giving it back. We're going to take over. I'm going to take over. And he came, and the Bible says he came to destroy the works of the enemy. That means that that depression, that fear, that anxiety, that thing that comes to steal from you financially, everything the enemy comes to do, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. The Bible says the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundant. Don't lose your shout at the end of the year. It's the end of the year. You should shout louder than ever. Amen. Oh no, I'm going to go back to Oceans. They're too Pentecostal for me. The Bible tells us that everywhere that Jesus went, in fact, I'll read it to you. Mark 1 verse 39 says, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee. Oh, and he was casting out demons. Everywhere he went. Why? Because he had kingdom power. He had kingdom authority. He had the rule of God. When he walked in the room, those demons would get so upset, man. They would begin to shake. You're supposed to have the same effect when you walk in the room. Now watch. Jesus came. And there was a day that he told us, he gave us his job description. Luke 4 verse 16 tells us, so he came to Nazareth. We had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, I want you to do what I said. Try and really like imagine this happening because it's awesome. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now imagine, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Now you must understand, he's sitting down, but no one has taken their eyes off him. They're watching him because when he read it, something was happening. When he read it, there was a power. There was something that had happened in the room. That when he gave the attendant the book and he went to sit down, they were all watching him. So something came out of his mouth. He couldn't help himself. And this is what he says. He says this. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Listen, that Jesus that was in the manger, it's the same Jesus that lives right now, that has come to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted. Why do you go to the things of this world to bring you peace? Why do we go to the things of this world to bring us healing and deliverance? Why don't we go to the healer? Why don't we go to the source? Why don't we go to the one who came to make us whole? You want to know how to fix your marriage? Put your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on the King of Kings. Set your heart on him. Hallelujah. He came to set us free, to heal the brokenhearted, to recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed. You see, the ones who don't get excited about are the ones who don't believe it. Oh, don't get upset with me. Don't lose your shout. Don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget he saved you. He delivered you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's have a party right there. Come on. That baby in a manger that the radio plays and you're driving in your car and you're singing about that baby in the manger. Have you forgotten that he's a healer? Have you forgotten that he's a deliverer? Have you forgotten that he walked with fire in his eyes? Have you forgotten that he sent his Spirit to dwell on the inside of you so that you can also make a difference? Listen, victory starts in your own house. Victory starts in your own life. It's time that you get up and begin to give the Lord a shout and a clap.
Come on, somebody shout like you believe it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why did he send Jesus? The Bible tells us in John 3:16. Put it up for us. We all know it, but let's put it up anyway. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. Everlasting. Everlasting. The only time it feels like it's not everlasting is when you're not going to the well to drink. And then you get thirsty. That's why he says, he who is thirsty, come. He who is hungry, come. Come to me. Come to me. Jesus stood up on the Feast of Tabernacles and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Don't forget who it is that was lying in that manger. Don't forget who it is that you sing about this time of year. Don't forget who it is that has given you life. Listen, it doesn't matter what's going on around us right now. We have something to celebrate. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve the God of all creation. We serve Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to give us life, who came to give us peace, who came to give us joy. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on. Give the Lord a clap. Come on, someone. Come on, give someone. Someone give the Lord a shout in this place. I understand that it can get really rough. That's why the angel told us where we would find joy. That's why the angel told us where we would find goodwill, good tidings. He told us. See, and the Bible tells us this. It says that in his presence is fullness of joy. Is he present in your life? If he's present in your life, you will have joy when you go into his presence. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So how do you get strength when things are going really rough? You've got to go to his presence. Don't sing about the baby. I mean, sing about the baby. But don't forget what it means and what it represents. So this week while I was preparing, I was like having a moment with the Lord. And I was listening to a song. And while I was listening to the song, I just really began to just cry out to God. And I actually said to him, Lord, I'm so sorry that I've so often, so many Christmases have kind of overlooked. Not that I haven't remembered. I remember. I remember what you did. I remember the sacrifice. I remember the Lord God sending his son. But I never stopped and recognized just how powerful it is. I will never look at a nativity scene the same way again. Never. And I'll look over at that child, whether it be a doll or whatever, and I'll know what it means. That in that swaddling cloth was a deliverer, was a healer, was someone that will love you more than you will ever be loved by anybody else. And in that cloth was Emmanuel. God with us. That's who he is, guys. Don't ever forget it. Can we sing that song, please? Right now? Thank you. She's like, you're over? Yes, I'm done. Can I ask you to stand for just a moment? Before you start, Ashley. Thank you. See, I normally kind of build into it. This time, I'm like, just do it. You have a choice. You can sing the words of the song like you do every other Christmas. Or you can sing the words of the song and recognize who you're singing about and who you're singing to. What he's done for you and what he will continue to do. Why? Not because you've made a great decision. He'll do it because he's awesome. He is great and greatly to be praised. So let's take a moment, and then we'll close. Amen. So, Father, this morning in this place, we remember, Lord, what you have done. We are so thankful this morning that Christ rose from the grave, that he gave us life and life more abundant. And Lord, now we can stop for just a moment in this crazy year and give you thanks. For the reason for the season is our Savior Jesus. And he is the King of the world. And we exalt you, Lord. We praise and honor you in this place. May your name be shouted from the rooftops. And let us never forget, Father, when we have a bad day, when we have a good day, doesn't matter what kind of day we have, let us never forget that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are our deliverer. Thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this morning in this place, we honor you. We thank you. We praise and worship you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you as you leave this place. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.